Welcome to Primary Attribute, we're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian, I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam, I play as Vons. We both use he, him pronouns. Vons is our furry little fox folk alchemist friend, and lately he just can't get enough of this slime chunk in a jar. It's just so much fun to watch it, like, point places and jiggle.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use she, they pronouns. And Jesse is really excited about going and finding out what the fuck is going on with this, like, giant, like, scar in the chunk out of the island.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard. We both use she, her pronouns. And Wealthy is intrigued by finding the doppelgangers for all of her friends back home. If she knew anything about the Wizard of Oz, she'd wonder if she was Dorothy.
Ooh.
Dex is a terrible toto.
Vond is a reasonable lion, though.
Yeah. All right, tag ourselves after this. I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic. We both use he, him pronouns. And Grix is trying to solve some problems.
If you get a chance, you should rate your review us on your podcast platform of choice. Helps people find us. It's very encouraging. And you should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
Yes, I would. We, Grix, Jesse, and Vons, continued to monitor the Aegis cave. There was no Aegis. Vons did some experimentation on the ooze monster sample in the vial, followed by Grix doing locate humanoid using the ooze monster sample in the vial as a compass to point us in the direction of more of the ooze monster sample.
It's generous to call that experimentation.
It was experimentation in the eyes of the CK, and so I refer to it as experimentation. Meanwhile, in the Green Day universe, as Ian has decided that they are calling it, Wealthy woke up in a metal box. Everyone re-explained everything to each other again. Wealthy told Gex that the next time that he went back to the Prime Universe, that he should tell us not to bring her back until we can deal with the ooze monster inside of her. Everybody in the van made it to Portland to a dive bar called the Recycle Bin, where Nara and Arcturus came to tell Frymeath that the book had been moved to a tchotchke shop in a small town that has a code phrase that only one spouse knows. Jesse, in the Prime Universe, called Gex back. They passed messages back and forth. Gex told Vons and Grix about their alternate universe selves, and messages were passed back and forth. Eventually, in the Green Day universe, the travelers ended up in a small town on Orcas Island at a tchotchke shop called Dad, Is That Yours? Of course, the shopkeeper is Jesse of the Green Day universe. Meanwhile, in the Prime universe, we used the ooze monster compass to find our way back to the cliff slash scar of the island. And the ooze monster sample was pointing us out into the water. So that is where we are going. And that's it.
Woo.
Hell yeah.
Yay.
All right. So people currently hanging out in the Prime universe. There's a whole bunch of water and rock, and your compass is pointing you out into further into the ocean. What do you do?
I think we determined that we all have water breathing of some sort still.
Uh-huh.
Well, yep.
I do.
Yep.
So we can just go out.
All right.
See what happens.
Do you all have individual water breathing potions, or are any of you splitting them?
I have one.
I have one.
Yeah, I can just take one.
Why okay, not? Cool.
Breathe water for 8 hours.
Yeah.
You guys have 8 hours of water breathing.
See, the clever way to make this potion, like, have a drawback in that sense would be to say that, okay, you can breathe water, but you can't breathe.
No, we'll just make sure you get trapped somewhere until the 8 hours runs out.
Ah.
We get invited to spend the night, and it's awkward to say no. Oh, God, what will we do?
They already paid for the room.
No. They made us dinner.
This isn't our Halloween episode.
Oh, Oh, yeah. Leave it to Ian to make a Halloween episode that's really Thanksgiving.
That would work. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I will take the scariest movie ever over the middlest
awkward
episode of The Office.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. Yeah, like fucking, it was really hard for you to get all the way through The Office, huh?
Or any show like that. But yeah, The Office was... Anyway, keep going. I think we should just head out, yeah. I don't think waiting does us any good.
How long did it take us to get back here?
From the village?
Yes.
Yes.
Probably 1 to 2 hours. Like okay. Most.
Then yeah, for sure. Not let's just go.
Yeah. Okay. You guys find a way down the cliffs to the beach, and you know, you see that pile of stone that has been torn and tumbled out into the ocean, as if a great hand reached up and just tore off part of the island and dragged it back with it. And you wade out into the water and start going for a swim. I need a d10 roll from each of you.
It's not a normal die.
It's a very normal die if we're in combat. I got a 9.
6.
4.
Okay.
Are we in combat?
You are not.
Okay.
You legally have to tell us if we're in combat.
Or it's entrapment. All right. So you swim out into the ocean. This ocean is fucking cold because it does not get direct sunlight literally ever.
Yeah.
For the past 500 years and change. So.
All right. Fair. Super fair.
So it's kind of miserable. And also it's hard to see too far underwater. It just takes you guys some time to adjust, although. Jesse, do you have a dark vision?
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone has dark or low light vision, so you're doing okay. You follow the debris out, and it doesn't just, you know, peter off too quickly or anything. It's instead, it kind of starts spreading out, and you swim out to the coastal shelf, and you see that whatever did this, whatever happened, gouged a giant like valley into the underwater coastline here, and you see that everything drops off, and you're pretty sure whatever that is leading you to is down below. So you'll be diving down a pretty good distance, which I assume everyone's okay with and didn't just go, oh no, it's more than 15 feet, I'm out.
Uh-huh. I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you swim downwards.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and bust out a light spell.
Okay.
Well, we all have dark vision, though.
Yeah. Never mind. That's not useful. We already addressed that.
Yeah. What are we, anglerfish?
Think of you all know the what? Fish you
I'm gonna make a. Well, okay. How deep is it? That's another question.
Anglerfish go a lot deeper than this. Yeah.
It's past what you can see from the surface. You would guess you're going down at least 100 feet, probably. Okay. Up to 200. Yeah.
Okay. So not dark yet.
No. Although it's getting pretty dark as you get towards the bottom.
Yeah, especially with cloud cover. Yeah. Yeah, and with low light vision still needs some light. So I'm going to go ahead and light up a stick and or a, I don't know. I'll find a rock or something and
yeah, or some bit of gear attached to you, whatever. Like you
sure, a coin.
Yeah, you make yourself whatever. A little
Yeah, I make myself a flare and toss it down.
Okay. Yeah, you toss it down, your flare drifts downwards and then illuminates a downward slope of more rubble, and I'm going to assume you just kind of do this a couple of times, working your way down to scout it out. And eventually you see that you would guess around 300 feet down after you follow this for a little while, the coin falls down what appears to be the edge of a giant crater. And you see a truly incredible amount of stone down there. Although from this distance, you can't tell exactly what it is. So.
Okay. That's cool.
And nothing swims up and eats your coin or anything like that.
That's cool. That wasn't exactly what I was going for, but you know, that's good to know as well.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't not part of the question.
Yeah. So let's say it's a 300 feet down to kind of the start of the crater, giant pile of rubble.
So suddenly Vons wonders, what are we doing? Are we like breaststroking under here? We don't know how to swim. Are we just walking along the bottom?
We have actually established that we know how to swim.
Yeah, people are taught how to swim.
Okay. But are we like, are we swimming or are we walking along the bottom?
We're swimming down.
We're swimming down.
Yeah.
Mm.
You can weigh yourself down if you really want to walk across the bottom. But for now, at least you're free swimming.
Hmm.
Neat.
And it's certainly faster than walking across the bottom.
Yeah.
I just want to go toward whatever. I want to go in the direction that we are being drawn.
Hey, you, how are you handling reorienting the vial now that you can't have your compass that is the vial as the needle in a bowl of water? Are you just kind of floating it out in front of you for a second and seeing which way it points? Or do you have some other idea?
That makes the most sense to me, but I'm assuming I'm not in charge of the vial.
Yeah, I think Vons is like wearing it on a necklace, kind of.
Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you get tugged down towards the giant pile of rubble and are following along. It weirdly starts getting like less precise as you get close to the pile of rubble, but it's still giving you a general direction. And I need wisdom checks from everybody as you examine this place.
Uh-oh.
Try to figure out where you're going.
Uh-oh. I mean, that was a great roll.
That's an unnatural 20.
The devil's 20.
I'm at 14.
Sure, the devil's 20.
The Macors have been calling it a gentleman's 20 lately.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, because they were feeling uncomfortable with a dirty 20. That's a 13 for me.
Okay, so you descend into the depths. You get up to the rubble itself, and it looks to be granite, limestone, something like that. It's absolutely covered in undersea plant life, what does survive down here.
Cool.
You know, so whatever this is has been down here a while, based on the growth, Jesse would think.
Okay.
But Jesse, with that 20, you spot a small glowing area down a small tunnel. This is not the tunnels between planes that you have probably been at least told about by someone at some point at this point with the bioluminescent stuff. It just looks like there's a light source down there, like a lantern or something.
Yeah, we talked about it at one point. I remember Jesse being confused and concerned.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would
that
say
there that was a pool of water in my head that I dove in.
Ah, yes.
I love Jesse's confusion at plot, at canon. I just like it. Just really like it a lot.
Jesse's our audience surrogate. Wait, what's canon? Question mark.
Just like how I just like playing a dumb character, you guys. It's so comforting.
It can be refreshing.
It's, yeah. It's fun, yeah.
Because Aracene was so smart and so full of herself. And Jesse just has no ego. Yeah, great. I guess I'd like to investigate that. Just, okay. You know, not like very in depth. How does talking to each other work with water breathing?
Not well.
Not well. Okay, does great.
Sound travels through water very well, but it would get super indistinct super quickly.
Sure.
You're like next to each other and, you know, yell. You guys can't get your points across. It's hard to understand each other.
I do want to go, you know, poke my head, see if I can see what the glow is, where the glow is coming from.
Yeah. You swim down. You have to go between a bunch of big pieces of rubble. It ends up being like a 5-foot wide tunnel. So it's not too hard to maneuver in. It's just you're descending into the pile now. And you find that the glow appears to be coming from a cave that leads. Like you dive down, you hit a solid rocky bottom. But if you basically twist around and start going back up, there's a cave that slopes up and away from you. And you see that the light is coming from further down in.
Okay.
So do you want to swim in and inspect it, or are you going to get other people first?
I'll just signal to the guys that I'm going in and then go in.
Okay. You swim on in. The cave slopes up. Make another wisdom check.
That's a 17.
Okay. The light is, now that you're a little closer, the light is rippling around you as if it's passing through the water's surface, which is quickly confirmed when you suddenly find yourself at the water surface inside this cave. It appears to have a pocket of air in it.
Oh, okay.
The light itself is mounted on what appears to currently be the floor, but it's mounted in a sconce-like setup that you would normally associate with the wall. And that wisdom check also lets you realize that the right-hand side of this cave right now is real smooth for a cave and level in a straight line kind of way.
Hmm.
And you look around a little bit more and you think you're in a hallway that has a seen better days as far as orientation and intactness.
I'll swim back and yell that to the guys without actually yelling verbally with my podcast voice. Hey, there's, it's a hallway. It's a sconce. You know, like a magical sconce. And then I point again. Was there further in?
Yeah,
in
it the continues cave? Onwards into the okay. depths.
I'll suggest maybe we should go into the cave. You know, the hallway.
Yeah, does the compass thing have any?
It's pointing that general direction, yeah.
Rad, let's do it.
You will swim down in and climb on out. And you see the sconce. Grix, make an intelligence check.
22.
The light orb it's holding looks extremely similar in design and construction to the ones that the Arx uses.
Oh, shit.
It's like I said. It's like I said all that time ago when we first discovered the scar.
I don't remember that, but that sounds likely. An Arx crashed.
And gouged the bottom of their mountain, like gouged out of this island. That's what Aaron thinks, Jesse. Yeah. Jesse is not smart like that.
What does Jesse think?
Jesse's like, oh, it's so weird. There's a hallway down here.
Jesse is pretty sure it's aliens.
Almost as soon as Ian started describing that, I was like, fuck me. I am playing such a character who would not make any connection at all about this.
No, I'm going to bring that up. Yeah, no, this is the Arx. The Arx crashed here.
Oh, no way.
Bubbles.
Well, you're out of the water now. You're in an air pocket, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Oh, rad. Yeah, I mean, no, not rad.
He's an illusionist. He can make bubbles happen whenever he feels like it.
That's free action.
But just like kid summer bubbles.
Yes.
They don't do anything.
Yes, exactly.
Zero effect. Can you distract people with them? Nope. Does it help with like being performing or being convinced? Nope.
So like, what do we, oh no, you're, yeah. I mean, cause like we lost contact with all the other Arxes, huh?
Yeah. Long time ago.
So like, this must be one of them. Too bad it crashed in the ocean. I mean, you know, all the stuff's probably like destroyed from it or whatever.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, the sconce is fine.
That's true.
And that was the one thing you all needed. You saved the day.
Yeah, we go further in.
Do you we take go the lost further ounce in. Of power with
we
you?
Follow yeah, the, we go further we in. Follow the hallway.
All right. Who is taking the lead?
Jesse.
Cool. Jesse, make a wisdom check.
What? That's a 19.
You see the door that is in the spot that is currently the floor before you step into it. So no pratfalls for the audience.
Oh, okay.
Just because this whole place is currently sideways. And the hallway continues on past this. Just
there's a doorway in the floor.
Yes.
For our orientation of the hallway. Okay. I'll just like poke my head in.
That particular bit at least appears to be rubble and water.
Well, then we'll keep going.
Yeah. Okay. You keep going and you press further in. Things get tricky in here. There's spots where you have to dive down. There are spots where you have to climb over rubble or squeeze through small spots. This place is torn apart. You know, there's several points where you can tell that like you're going along the same hallway, but two pieces, like it's been snapped in two pieces and like twisted around and such from whatever this impact was. But eventually you find your way towards a spot where after several dead ends and stuff that we don't need to get into, you follow
of
your...
Of course not, they're dead ends. Why would we get into them?
You got it. You encounter a pretty steep rubble slope that I'm going to need a strength or dexterity checks to climb up from each of you. But there is a stronger glow up ahead and your necklace is indicating, hey, go over there.
Aha.
I'll do strength.
Okay.
What are the options?
Strength or dex?
Oh, dex.
Well, that was bad. That's only a 13 on a prime.
Natural 20.
Vaughn's jumps real good, but he is dex 18. Oh, it's a prime though.
Okay. Vaughn's and Grix, you do great. Jesse, less so.
Fair.
So, Jesse, you get up almost to the top, about 30 feet above where you were, and that's when the rocks that you are standing on and grabbing onto give out from underneath you. I need you to make a dexterity saving throw, please.
That's fair. That's a 22 total, not a prime.
Okay. You do manage to catch yourself pretty well, which is good, because you do tumble all the way back down, but you handle it like a champ, which is good, because there's a lot of dice here, which I rolled distinctly average on. You take a whopping 6 damage between the slope and you catching yourself.
It did occur to me that we did not talk about any healing that Grix may have been able to do yesterday while we were not doing anything all day.
Oh, probably.
Are we allowed to retcon that or no?
Grix, how many times do you normally prepare Cure Light Wounds?
Once. One time.
Possibly, yeah. Could I have one?
Let's say you prepped it twice.
Yesterday. Or,
I don't know, how badly beat up was Jesse before this fall?
I was at like half.
Okay. Oh, shit. We would have noticed.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Then you like, can just retcon as many as you need.
Yeah. I think because I did some other stuff yesterday. So let's give you 2 from yesterday. That sounds fair.
Yes, that sounds perfect.
Yeah, I think the point of that whole rest was to recoup as much as possible.
Yeah. In that case, Jesse, take 13.
Wonderful.
And I do have one prepared for today.
Cool. Yeah.
And I've got quite a few potions myself.
If it becomes relevant, at this point, I'm back up to, you know, 2/3 health almost. So I think I'm okay for now.
Jesse is extremely durable.
I mean, I have 60 hit points overall.
Yeah, exactly. But with that, you dust yourself off and you climb up and catch up with the rest of the group. You are all in what is, from your current orientation, essentially a giant drum, but which you would recognize with like a dome on one side, but you would recognize as an enormous promenade that currently the floor of it is the far wall from where you are standing, which is over a mini wall that you're pretty sure was a balcony at some point. Huh. There's a couple of giant cracks in the ceiling that are letting water cascade down. But it appears to have enough space to be draining somewhere. Although just beyond the balcony, there's about 3 feet of standing water. You can see that there is what was probably once a very nice marble statue, you would assume attached to the base at the center of the now far wall. And what was once probably the center of the promenade that has been snapped in half at about the hip. Looks like it was an elaborate carving of an orcish woman, actually. But you can see the broken top half. You can see the broken bit like sticking out from the water in one spot. And there are signs that are half rotted and falling above the various doors. There are a few things that were probably once banners that are covered in like algae and lichen. And you're pretty sure would just fall down as a slimy goop mess if you disturb them at all. On some of the hard surfaces, you guys see a few things skittering around. Crab size, like hermit crab sized things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, many, many doors off of this area. And a lot of them you cannot reach because they're on the ceiling or like high on the walls. Well, cannot reach easily.
I mean, I'd like to at least like try to poke my head into some of the like ones that we could reach.
Okay. So you're on kind of it's kind of like you're on the inside of a drum, so you can get a certain distance to each side before you it gets too steep for you to get up without climbing. You look in and make an intelligence check to puzzle out what you're looking at. And Grix and Vons, are you doing similar exploring?
Yeah, definitely. Let me see what I got, though, because I might try to do something.
Okay. I got a 20.
All right. Let's see what Grix and Vons are doing real quick.
So Vons wants to look for ingredients, of course, as well. And the exploring that he does is primarily about that.
Okay. Make an intelligence check.
Ooh, 16 on the die, plus a bunch. 26?
Yes. And then, Grix, what are you getting up to?
I'm going to cast Detect Magic and use that to search.
Okay. Still roll an intelligence check, but you're searching for magic stuff.
Yeah. 18.
Okay. It's cocked. Vons, you take some time to take samples of the various shells, creatures, rotting things that have other things growing on them. You aren't sure what a lot of this stuff will do. You don't really do a lot of deep ocean or even tide pool level
Yeah, we never get ingredients like this on the arcs.
Yeah, so, but you get a lot of samples. Write down that you have 6 points of subterranean or like sub-ocean promenade, whatever you want to call it. Note that they're from here.
Vittles. Subnautical vittles.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff you've never seen before. Only one of the creatures gives you a little pinch on your paw when you reach near it, and then it skitters away immediately.
Pinch back. I mean, boss.
Well, it skittered away immediately. I imagine the first thing Vons did was try to smash it.
All right.
Make also, it I think Ian's just harping off of Xeno attribute. Skittering crustaceans are my jam.
Well, in Xeno attribute, I don't get to do dexterity checks.
That's fair.
Xeno attribute coming soon to a primary attribute podcast feed near you.
Mm-hmm.
I just rolled a natural 20 on that.
Congratulations. You have a pet hermit crab and or snack hermit crab, depending on what your plan is.
Oh, it's a hermit crab.
Yeah.
Vons doesn't have any pets besides Mitt.
God damn it.
No.
Yeah, Vons is very curious about how this crab grows this shell. So he's gonna keep that in a jar with a twig and a leaf to simulate what it's used to.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mitch.
Yeah.
You say as you... Twig and a leaf, you say, as you take it from a environment with standing water and plants that are not twigs nor leafy.
It was a Mitch Hedberg joke that Adam made or was quoting.
Mitch Hedberg made it.
Right. You were quoting. Yeah.
Okay. Apologies for missing it. Okay. You got your thing and it looks confused at its environs and as irritated as little beady ice dogs can look. But you've captured it. Jesse?
Yes.
You start digging around, and with that pretty damn high roll, you're pretty sure that these were shops. They are shops that have been super destroyed at this point, because most people's shop inventories don't take well to being thrown against the wall during a massive impact.
What kind of shops? Can I tell at all? I mean, like, that's not...
Yeah. So, a lot of stuff is... at the very least damp and rotting, but you're able to pick through and find some things. There's the remains of a clothes shop, you're pretty sure. In another spot, it looks to be kind of a grocery store, general trader sort of place, at least based on the labels. Any food has long since gone bad. You find another one that is a toy store, because stone toys actually do pretty well, all things considered.
Does it have the ball?
The ball? Kelly. Roll a D100.
Shit. I'm paying attention. I'm just not.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, you're not prepared. You weren't.
You didn't expect that you were going to have to suddenly, out of nowhere, do a roll.
D100?
Yeah.
No one expects the arc's exposition.
That was a 96.
It has something similar to the ball, you think.
Okay. I don't take it because that would be stupid.
Was the ball magic?
You know, we did not establish if the ball was magic.
It made noises. It seems like it made specific noises.
It made some kind of noise. It made a noise that we all sort of didn't know how it was making that noise. And some suggestions were made for how it was making that noise that deeply upset me.
Jesse, make a wisdom check as you observe the ball.
That's a 23 on a prime.
It looks like it was cracked on one side, and you see a very faint glow coming out of it.
Oh, I guess it was magic. I put it down.
Okay. At least this one is magic. You don't know if the one on the arcs was magic or not.
In Jesse's mind, this is the same ball.
That's fair. Jesse has managed to kind of go in the mentally opposite direction and invent branding. So...
Yes, exactly.
And let's see. And there is, that's a lot of glass. You think this was an alchemist shop, but currently it's mostly the floor is made of shattered glass shop.
I yell over to Vons. Hey, I think this was like an alchemy supply store.
Huh. They got any supplies?
I don't know. There's a lot of glass.
But they don't have a centrifuge.
I don't know, man. You come look. I don't know anything about alchemy.
You invented the centrifuge. They wouldn't have one.
Yeah.
What the fuck is a centrifuge?
Smart people stuff. Don't worry about it.
It's like a fidget spinner. For science.
This is when you're going to find a magically powered centrifuge that works like modern centrifuges.
Jesse squints, like desperately tries to understand what any of those words mean.
Yeah, Vons rifles through their things to hopefully feel superior.
Make a dexterity check.
Okay. We're doing some serious rifling here.
To not get cut.
Yeah, the floor has like 3 inches of broken glass on it.
Okay, well, I rolled a 3. This does not bode well. Dexterity is a prime, though. So this comes out to 13 on a prime. Not great.
But it is a prime.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, throughout your entire search, you take 4 points of damage, but you also manage to avoid injuring yourself severely in any particular way.
Did you just roll for glass?
Yep. You do not go full diehard.
All right.
But all right. And Grix, you were searching for magic.
Yeah. What do I find?
Okay, you find a couple things. You find an intact potion in the alchemy shop. Kind of poke your head in there while Vons is looking.
Uh-huh.
You find a... It's a crystal, but it's cut with a huge number of facets, so it's almost round. It's underneath the water and underneath the fallen part of the statue, but you wade slash swim your way out there and find it as you're kind of doing the rounds of this whole place.
Okay.
It gives strong magic vibes, but you need to inspect it further. You know it is more than just like a lamp.
Sweet. I pocket it.
In one of the clothing shops, or one of the other shops that you're pretty sure is a clothing shop, is underwater, but that don't matter to you right now. And you go down and you find it looks like a bright purple silk sash that is somehow intact when everything around it is goop. Or just, you know, undiscernible biomass. Well, not biomass, but, you know, undiscernible compost at this point. So you're pretty sure that means it's magic.
Oh, man. A purple sash?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to throw caution to the wind and put that on.
All right. Let me look at the book. What have I done?
You suddenly know guitar.
Well, quite what a guitar is, but...
But damn, you know it. Sorry, just as I flip to look things up, there are so many magic horns in this game.
Magic horns?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they started at 5 different magic horns.
That's a lot.
Wow.
We should soon return to Wealthy.
Yes.
But like, no pressure.
Yeah. I agree. Mostly because those are scenes that everyone can be in right now.
You're under the impression that Kelly is feeling left out?
Okay. I mean, not especially. I figure you're fine. But
it's mostly that I like it when you are doing things, because I like your character.
We like when you take part in our adventures. Yeah.
And I genuinely miss being in scenes with you, Kelly.
Well, yes. Thank you.
I don't think you understand how much I enjoy being in scenes with you.
Grix.
Yeah.
Make an intelligence check to try to figure out how to activate this thing.
Okay. 21.
All right. You feel that it is magic as you put it on, and you kind of search for the button in your brain that's in there somewhere. And you manage to find it and activate it with a thought.
Sweet.
And Jesse and Vons, you're poking around, and then suddenly over near Grix, shit just lights up like a disco ball.
Oh no.
Party sash?
I run over.
The garment displays a shifting pattern of incredible hues, color after color, cascading from the upper part, or in this case, across it, from one side to the other. Jesse, you run over?
Okay, is this more of a Prince vibe or more of a...
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat vibe?
Thank you. Thank you. That was what I was
probably
thinking.
Probably the latter.
Maybe a Hendrix thing is going on here.
Jesse, make a wisdom check as you run up to Grix, or splash up to Grix.
That's a 15 on a prime.
All right. I may revise these numbers later because I need to look up the exact challenge rating. But Jesse, you enter the area and are stunned for 2 rounds.
You just see me like stop.
Or you become dazed rather.
Well, same. I just stop.
We're not in combat. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It also illuminates 30 feet around you. I should probably just type this out for you. But basically it...
Is it in the book?
Yeah, I'll look up the robe of scintillating colors, and it's just a sash instead. But yeah, it gives you partial concealment that gets higher over time. It stuns things, and it seems very Grix.
All right.
And then the very last thing that you see is you kind of look up at the current ceiling at just the right angle.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the inside of a, you know, some sort of shop or dwelling. And with your detect magic, you can just see the barest hints of some sort of glow leaking out. You would guess it's, you have to get pretty close for detect magic to work, but you like climb up the statue or something and look a little closer. It looks like, your guess is there's some sort of box or cabinet or whatever in there that is cracked open, and there is a very magical thing inside of it, and you're just seeing the like little bit of magic that's leaking out and more visible, essentially. You still have to get up there, which is a bit of a problem, but you get powerful magic vibes off of whatever has been stowed up there.
Okay. Hey, Jesse, are you okay there?
Huh?
Sorry. Didn't mean to do that. I was trying to figure out what it does and put the whammy on you.
Yeah, I think it, whew.
Yeah, sorry about
that. It's like drugs, man.
Yeah. Could you give me a boost up here? I think there's another thing up there that would be really cool.
Can I give him a boost? Is it
this
like...
room's really big, so I think you're beyond boost territory. You're kind of in grappling hook or invert climbing, everyone's least favorite type of climbing territory to get up to there. This thing is basically in the center of your ceiling, and the room is probably...
Invert climbing is like the one where you're crawling on your back.
The one where you're like under an overhang.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that's just pure grip strength because gravity is not helping you.
Do we have any spider climb still, or does that not help with that?
That would be perfect for this.
I don't have any of that.
Fawns just stares blankly.
Okay.
Fawns, who made an entire day's worth of potions, didn't restock the spider climb.
Uh-huh. Are people talking about spider climb?
Yeah.
Oh shit, I have spider climb.
Hold on. Hey. You wanna go up there and get that whatever?
Get what?
There's something up there that's magic.
I'm distracted by this hermit crab.
Okay. You wanna give me that?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's magic. You should definitely go get it because I don't want to touch it.
Right. Here, hold this goo too.
Okay, loose goo.
Do you think he and the hermit crab are going to be friends?
Loose goo or bottle goo?
Bottle goo.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to accidentally break it and let the goo out.
I don't listen. This is not the first time you've handed me just a handful of something slimy.
True.
Heads up, this is still very much the safer option. But Jesse, you do have scale, which would let you climb surfaces.
I don't want to go touch the thing, magical thing, that I've already been told is a magical thing.
I'm just making sure you remember you can do that, because it wouldn't come up very often.
Vons gets all spider oily and grabs a stick.
Well, I thought you were just giving Grix
the you were giving spider. The spider climb to Vons.
Yeah, that's what I thought was.
Or sorry, to Grix.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Vons was going to do the thing.
I mean, it's a potion. This is one of the great advantages of using potions.
You can either give it to me and I'll do it, or you can do it and I'll watch the crab. Your choice.
No, you're right. Here, you give me back my crab.
Okay.
Yeah. Grix will also have an easier time finding it because you have detect magic turned on.
Right.
And Fonz is not.
Well, I don't figure there's a lot of crap up on the ledge. I hope not.
And well,
it's inside one of the rooms, so it's hard to say for sure.
Here's the spider climb oil, and I'll take back the vial. Need you take back the hermit crab.
Okay.
And then, how's this work?
You do the old underwater arc shuffle, and Grix now has spider climb oil and uses it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now I...
Here, take this stick.
I rub the oil all over me, I guess, and climb the wall.
All right. Spider Grix does whatever a spider Grix
Sorry,
can.
Sorry, stick? Why are you giving me a stick?
You gotta have something to poke it with.
No, fine.
Poke what with?
Whatever's up there.
All right.
You don't want to just touch it.
Grix, you climb on up. Stickless.
You just touch a lot of things, man. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
And you clamber your way into whatever this store once was. It looks like this may have been some sort of storage area.
Yeah.
And because you are up top, things are more intact. Barrels and boxes and crates and stuff are all kind of smashed against the door here and cluttered around the frame and in piles.
They haven't fallen to the floor yet.
Well... It's not like the whole wall is a door. Like there was walls for stuff to catch on. Stuff probably did fall through, just not all of it. You do find a cabinet that actually very responsibly looks like it was bolted to the wall. but one of the doors was cracked, and you see that the thing you want is in there. And so you can ease it open and catch it as it falls out. It's a small box that fits in your palm. Looks like it's made of a nice walnut, has a latch, and also has a crack, which is where you're seeing the magic come through. Do you open it?
Yeah, of course. Naturally, yeah.
All right.
I'm scared.
This is so much anticipation.
Yeah. Grix, you open it, and Jesse and Vons, there was a giant burst of light from over Grix just went. Hey, Wealthy.
I told you to bring the stick.
Okay, give it to me.
Yeah, we go through time. Welcome to a tchotchke shop.
I'm in the tchotchke shop.
Jesse appears to run the place in some capacity. Grix and Vons are there.
Hey.
Hey.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I feel like I already know you.
Well, you did, call me by name when you walked in, so, that was a little weird. But, I mean, you know, it's a small town. Maybe somebody, referred you to me.
We were referred, but nobody in town sent us.
Hey, I found one of those pennies in a jar.
Oh, yeah, that's, a pretty cool thing. I haven't figured out how they do that, but, Hank thinks that's, real cool, too, man.
Do you have other denominations?
No.
Jesse, I figure that this is not normally your day job. You're kind of covering the store. Normally, you're...
I think normally I'm a crab fisherman or something.
Sure. I was going to say park ranger, but I like crab fishermen.
It's the deadliest catch, unless you meet a kraken.
I'm a big beefy coral.
Yes. But Hank and Kindness normally run this place, but you cover from time to time. Give them a break.
Yep.
And this is one of those days. So yeah, Vaughn's found a penny in a jar, and Wealthy's being weird.
Wealthy's generally weird.
I'm oh, you got some of that good stuff, huh?
Me?
Yeah.
What good stuff?
You just have that sort of out of it thing.
Oh, I haven't been with it for a while.
Long trip, huh?
You have no idea. We were referred here. We're looking for a book, a very specific book. Okay. But I don't know the name of it.
Primeath steps up and says, we're looking for a 1954 edition of the Mushroom Forger's Guide to Death Valley. And looks at you expectantly.
Does this sound familiar to me at all?
Fuck no. You don't think that book should even exist, honestly. How many mushrooms are there in Death Valley? Cue the emails where I find out there's hundreds of species of mushrooms in Death Valley.
I mean, are you okay, man? You seem, I don't know.
I was told that maybe only one of the owners of the shop would know what I was looking for. It may be being held.
Huh. Okay. I can give, where are Kindness and Hank right now?
Hank is watching the kids. Kindness is out at truly the most intimidating bridge club you've ever seen. But you know the phone number. You can call there and get her.
Ian, I love you. That's beautiful. Thank you so
bridge
much.
Club is actually what she calls her base jumping team.
No, they base jump on the side. They normally just play bridge.
Oh, wit. Oh, God, wit.
What?
That was incredible.
I didn't think it was that good, actually. I thought it was just a throwaway thing, but yeah, sure, I'll take it.
Sometimes you hit your target.
Yeah, keep going.
Bridge club.
That's great. Yeah.
They're jumping off of bridges.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I'll call Hank, on the big old phone we have.
I'm trying to chart out which dad puns work with Erin and which ones make her mad.
Oh, don't. It won't work. There's no way to know. There's absolutely no way to know.
Just going to have to get a big book of them and just read them off one day.
No, because that'll just make me really angry.
That would
I think it's the fact that...
Go on.
I think it's a density thing.
Okay.
Anyway, I call Hank. Hey babe, quick question. Do you know anything about a book about Death Valley mushrooms? Because there's some guy who says, like, we're holding a book for him about Death Valley mushrooms from the 50s.
How many children does the family have?
Two.
You hear two children screaming, which is not unusual because children. Not in a bad way, just in a running around the house, and Hank can only do so much to contain them.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm familiar with my children.
Yes. I haven't heard of it, but Kindness might know. She keeps track of the rare stuff.
Oh, okay. I like stare at Frymeath as I'm talking, and I like kind of lose what I was about to say because he seems very intent, I guess.
I'm going to say he's trying to play it cool and still being very intense because it's Frymeath.
He has that like standing too still thing.
Eyes moving around the place a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Balance a little too perfect. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, do you have the number for where Kindness is? Because she didn't leave it here.
Yeah. It's insert number here that has 555 in the appropriate spot.
Great. I take down the number and I call Kindness. I call the place that Kindness is. Hey, this is Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, and I need to talk to my wife. Is she still there?
Oh, hey, Jesse. Yeah, it's been a long game. Kindness, phone's for you. The phone is taken up by Kindness.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Losing, but
there good. Is a man here who is asking about a book about mushrooms in Death Valley from the 50s. He seems to think that it exists and that you are holding it for him.
Jesse, make a wisdom check.
That's a 14 on a prime.
But this is your wife. You know her pretty well. She is not silent for long, but it is that sudden, abrupt, and perfect silence of someone who is alarmed and then recovers.
I turn away from the people and lower my voice.
Did you get the exact title?
You can repeat it.
You don't have to remember it as a player.
Okay, I repeat it.
Okay. Okay. Sooner than I was expecting. It's in the safe in the back, not the normal safe, the other one. I showed it to you once.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, cool. Are we in danger?
We shouldn't be, no.
Okay.
We're essentially being a safety deposit box.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, great. Have fun and make lots of people angry at Bridge. And I guess I'll see you when you get home. Should I go home after?
Yeah. Do you want me to come get you?
No.
What kind of a bridge game is this?
Well, I think more Jesse's just freaked. And
yeah, I mean, Jesse was shown the secret safe one time.
Ah, okay.
Told that it was very important and very...
Very important, but also forget about its existence.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fair.
And now there's a person here who wants it with a bunch of people who seem high. So, does Jesse see Gex?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's just your average lizard on a leash.
Wearing one of those dog bee costumes with a little bouncy antenna.
We're in Oregon.
We're not in Oregon anymore.
Are we in Washington?
We're on
Orcas Island.
Say, oh, whatever, you're Jesus in Washington. Christ, same difference in terms
okay,
of...
Okay, we're in Washington.
I mean, it's Orcas Island.
That's right.
They feel they're in Washington, but it is it's a chunk. It's a community.
Okay.
It's not like there's a guy who walks around the farmer's market in West Seattle with a lizard on his shoulder.
I go to...
Dude, we had one of those in Federal Way.
Yeah.
Every
farmer's market has one. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah.
I go to the secret safe.
Okay.
Do I remember the combination for the secret safe?
Yes.
It's also written on the secret safe.
I open the secret safe.
Yeah, this is a fancy digital safe.
Oh, okay.
Where each of you were given a different combination that's easy for you to remember, but doesn't necessarily mean anything to anyone else. So,
oh, everyone in my family knows what my combination is. It's my wedding anniversary.
But you didn't say that at the time, so they let you get away with it.
It's like, enter your code. It just happens to be us. January 23rd.
You enter the digits and you open the safe, and there's a few things in there. Also, to get to the safe, you had to drag a bookshelf out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like it's mounted so you don't just, you know, knock it over on accident, but like it was heavy.
It wouldn't be a secret if it weren't behind a bookshelf.
And Wealthy, you hear the crrrk of something heavy being moved in the back room.
God.
But you punch in the number, you open the safe. There's a few books in there. One of them, well, there's a few books. There's some weird pieces of wood. There's random tchotchkes. There's a baseball card that's, I don't know, fucking Sammy Sosa's rookie card. Whatever would be valuable. That is Hank's prized possession. And probably shouldn't be in this safe. That's not really what it's for, but oh well. But you find a book that has no title on its spine, but there is a like bookmark with a string tag hanging off of it that says 1954 Mushroom Forger's Guide to Death Valley.
I take it out and I close the safe and I like with hands outstretched turn around and like walk back and like present it at arm's length.
It could be magic, you don't know.
I'll take
it. Be careful, cross every universe.
I don't know anything about magic though.
I just like the idea that on some instinctual level, Jessie's extreme caution about magic has extended to every universe.
Oh, for sure. Like, I think she just doesn't understand what is going on with it. So she thinks that, like, there's something bad. Like, this is clearly a bad object. She needs to keep it as far away from her, most of her body as possible.
Yeah. The label does also say a prepaid on it. So, like, held for pickup. Basically, you're not expecting Primeath or anyone to give you money for this. Just
Yeah. Well, kindness would have told me how much to charge them if I was supposed to charge them.
Fair. All right. So you hand the book over to Frymeath, who Wealthy immediately turns to you and hands it and says, I believe you're the most qualified to read through this.
Yep. I take it. It kind of freaks me out.
Wealthy, make a charisma check. Charisma saving throw.
Oh, God. Well, that's a 4 on the dice. There's no way I'm making it out of this.
I'm not going to make you remember it clearly, but you now remember much more about the events.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, that was weird.
Mostly including, like, you get flashes of the creatures made of light stalking you and the feeling that it was like when they yanked your magic out of you and...
And kissing Erisine.
You know, flashes of the fight in the basement. Like, it's not a coherent narrative if you don't want it to be, but you kind of have a quick mini nightmare of the stuff that happened.
I love that you... automatically included and kissing Erisine.
Yep.
That was the one good part of the dream.
Was that a good part of the dream? Because you seemed really freaked out by it the entire time.
No, I was into the kissing. I wasn't sure what I was doing was right, but I was into the kissing.
You felt like you were being the person who was cheating on...
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone else.
Oh, Wealthy.
Uh-huh.
That raises an important question. How do you process this very visceral memory of Erisine?
God. Well, the whole thing's got me like, I just freeze. I'm holding the book in both hands, right in front, held in front of my chest, and I just freeze. Like I'm having a petite mal seizure. Just my eyes kind of just go away, and And it lasts for like 3 or 4 seconds, and then I just kind of sag.
All right.
I think Jessie jumps over the counter and catches you.
Well, I don't fall. I just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, but she maybe didn't know which way that was going to break.
Yeah, but like you did also just freeze right before that happened. So like, I don't know.
No, it works.
Wendy, are you okay?
Oh, man.
Wait.
Yeah, I can talk. I also got some questions for you, but in a second.
What?
I'm fine, Gex. I think I remember a lot more about what's going on. What went on when I was here before. Oh, man, that was weird.
Oh, you've been here before?
Not here on the Not here at the store, just here. Never mind, it's too complicated to explain.
It's complicated.
Right. Hey, what the fuck is going on with the lizard who can talk? Because that's, like, not normal at all.
I'm from another dimension.
Huh?
I'm from another dimension. Also, that dimension's you wanted me to ask if you're married to Kindness and Hank in this one.
Well, yeah, of course I'm married to Kindness and Hank.
I kind of figured that'd be the case.
Wait, sorry, what are you talking about? There's another... What? Like the Matrix?
It's so complicated.
It's not really the... Wait, shit, I haven't seen that movie. I saw a trailer for a show called Sliders. Maybe it's like that?
Oh, yeah, I liked Sliders. Jerry O'Connell's like pretty fun. Hank really likes him.
Yeah, we couldn't stay up late enough to watch it. It's not like 4 in the morning. We were pretty tired.
Oh, yeah, probably on like USA or something.
Yeah, your televisiones are pretty cool.
I've gotten used to you talking like way faster than I thought I would.
Yeah, it does that.
That happens.
Huh.
I'm going to pull the book in close to me and I'm going to say, Frymeath, are we ready to go?
Wait, what's going on with the other me?
Other you? What other you? What are you talking about?
He said there's another me.
Yeah, there's another Jessie.
Well, like, what's her deal?
She's super, yeah, she's like super a spouse person about Hank and Kindness.
Oh, yeah, well, of course she is. Hank and Kindness are the best.
And is going on adventures and trying to get Wendy here back to her home dimension plane thing.
Oh, that's cool. I'm a crab fisherman, so like that's not the same, I think, maybe.
Oh, well, normally Jessie does a forest maintenance thing. She kills the monsters that get in there sometimes.
Monsters.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole problem.
Huh. I used to go hunting with my dad. Is it like that?
Mostly, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, like, she seems, you know, like me, I guess. I feel like I'm gonna go home and have an existential crisis and maybe, like, cry a bit, but, cool. Like, have fun on your whatever the fuck is going on. Yeah.
Thank you for intersecting our narrative thread. We couldn't do it without folks like you.
I am glad to have had this very weird interaction today, and I think I'm going to close the store now.
Well, I'm glad I could bring it to that next level of weird, because honestly, it might help you process. Also, I'm real stressed out. Sorry I basically called you a...
I don't think anything's going to really help me process this.
So, as you try to process how you're going to process, there is a ringing of the bell above the door as someone else comes in. Slinks in, really.
Uh-oh. Slinks? Uh-oh.
And does that fucking thing where they flip the sign from open to closed as they enter.
Oh, no.
Oh, it must work here.
I don't know if anyone can recognize this person.
None of us?
No.
It's not someone that the folks who are here have encountered, I don't think.
So it's only someone that Aerith's seen.
They're wearing all black, have a very impassive face, and...
Oh, God, what's their name?
Just kind of gives that weird dead-eyed smile.
Mendoza?
Mendoza! No.
If any of you could recognize them, it is, in fact, Mendoza.
Mendoza.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not a single person here has ever seen Mendoza, unless Frymeath had something to do with them.
I mean, we may have seen them, we just didn't know.
You just wouldn't have had any reason to connect them, because they only had to do with Aerisine, and only before the whole Sane situation came to a head.
Yeah, and the person locks the door as they come in.
Oh, hey, you can't, I mean, that's not cool, man.
I'm afraid you'll have to deal with it. And we will cut away from that. And that's where we'll end the episode.
Ah!
What? Holy fuck!
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. Follow us on social media. You can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Trollord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Ian, who is me. Thank you, me. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.
I think
someone's got some jangly music playing. Or that's the wind chimes, huh?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's fucking windy over here, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I'll go.
It's the sound of the shrimp in the ocean.
Yeah.
That's so upsetting, actually.
Well, they're just low-key pistol shrimp.
Look up Aaron. A trigger shrimp sometime.
Oh,
I don't Aaron, think
never
I want...
go scuba diving. I mean, not that I think you were going to, but
what are you talking about?
So there's a constant background like Rice Krispie treats or Rice Krispie popping, snap crackle pop. That's all the shrimp making noise.
What?
Yeah, it's nonstop when you scuba dive. Yeah,
are you?
Oh, no, wild. I'm not making this up.
Thought it was just. I'm not making it up.
Fuck.
It's just a. In the background, and it's you can't, like, it's not an avoidable thing.
Oh, wow. Thank you for telling me that so that I can literally never ever go scuba diving.
And it's probably not just shrimp. There's crustaceans that might be doing
it too. That genuinely made, like, my skin crawl. Just you saying that.
It's
shrimp crawl.
I'm not gonna lie. Before I went scuba diving the first time, our instructor was like, okay, this is going to weird you out because it's incredibly loud. And even telling me that, I was not prepared for how loud and pervasive it was.
Oh, wow. I mean, for a lot of reasons, I shouldn't go scuba diving, but that is honestly like jumped pretty high up. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
Do shrimp jump?
Oh. Anyway.
I don't want to think about this, please.
This has been
you.
Aaron Horror Show.
This can we call been the... Aaron...
Can we call the podcast that?
This has been Aaron.
No,
dramatically.
It should be White Shrimp Can't Jump.
That's awful. I love just the amount of psychic damage that we've been doing to each other lately. It's like really tickling me.
I think I'm winning.
You are absolutely winning at making all some of us very uncomfortable.
I almost titled the episode that came out yesterday Dry Ball.
I don't remember what that was even referencing, but I guess I'll hear the episode soon and find out.
Yeah. But anyway, under the water.